Bingle doesn't play dirty. You get exactly what you need. Simple, straightforward insurance. Bingle, proud supporter of the Continuous Call team. Before buying insurance issued by Bingle Insurance, read the PDS at bingle.com.au to see if it's right for you.
I think most of us enjoy doing puzzles, but they can be frustrating, and they can also be a little bit, well, 1 minute you think you've got no idea, then someone shows you and you think, oh, that is so simple. Well, that's not the case here, because between 1926 and 1936, the IRA, when they were in, well, I suppose you could say, in combat with other members of forces around Ireland and Northern Ireland, there was a man named Maurice Toomey. He used to communicate with commanders in the field using cryptograms. Now, these were supposed to have been destroyed, but several thousand were kept in a box, which ended up in the University College at Dublin. They were found again by a researcher in 2001, a guy called Tom Mann. He called in a cryptographer, Jim Gologli, who was the first person to publicly solve the first three sections of the famous cipher sculpture, Cryptos. He wrote a book called Decoding the IRA, but not all of it was decoded. But a Queenslander, Dr. Richard Bean, who is a data scientist at the University of Queensland's Redbank Technologies Research Centre, has now cracked one of the most complex codes that have had people scratching their heads for nearly a century. And he joins me on the line. Dr. Bean, good afternoon.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm intrigued because I have trouble doing crosswords, let alone understanding how the hell you start with this. Where did you start?
Well, I bought the book in April 2018, April last year, and I read about how Jim Gologli decoded all of these ciphers, about 1,000 of them, and then he was unable to decode just the remaining one. So I started up with my programming, and after a while, like after looking at it on and off again for about 14 months, I managed to decode it.
You called it art as well as science. What does that? What do you mean by that?
Well, this particular cipher, it's called a transposition cipher. So if I could just quickly explain how it works. You have a keyword, say monarchy, and then you write out the letters left to right, top to bottom in a matrix. So monarchy, and then if you're... your message is, say, 36 letters. You write it out in rows. You write four rows, and then you've got four letters in the bottom. And then you just rearrange the columns. So it goes A, C, H, M, N, O, R, Y. So you just transpose the columns. That's why it's called a transposition cipher. And it's quite secure because you don't know which of the columns are empty and which are not. So the art part of it comes in... you can't just do it by running a computer over all the possibilities because in this case there was a mistake in the enciphering. So it really came down to identifying the word lignite, part of lignite, and then after that I knew I was on the right track. So I had to do the fixing by hand, not just by computer.
So there was a mistake in the code itself, in the cipher itself?
That's right, yes.
And so that made it even more complicated than what would normally be. If there wasn't that mistake, would other people have solved it, do you think?
Yes, easily. Yes.
Oh, easily.
Yes.
So when you worked out what the code was, how long did it then take you? Just a matter of seconds, I suppose, that bang, here's what it means. Because when I read it, when I saw the release today and I read, even the wording didn't make a huge amount of sense to me when it was decoded, if that makes sense.
It was usually sent as part of telegrams. So there were a few mistakes. They said it was 51 letters, but the final one was 56 letters. So that was the column missing. But it was very compressed. But part of the computer science of it was writing a program so that you could distinguish between something that looks like English and something that really is English. So I think that was the hard part, building a table and programming a computer so that you can distinguish between those two. And it's really hard when you've only got 51 characters.
If you didn't have a computer, would it be possible?
No. Right. What the British used to do in the First World War was they had the paper and they moved them round and round by hand. So they moved the the strips of paper up and down until they thought they had English. Now it's more like, you know, I have a program that's like an Indian god. I have just, they can just have, I have thousands of hands and I can just move them up and down really fast until I see what the most likely possibility is.
So you've broken this cipher, you've broken other ciphers. Do you write them yourself as well?
No, I don't. I'm a member of the Cryptogram Association, and I get their magazine and I look at theirs, but I haven't seen any to be solved. I just
So what's the next challenge for you then? Oh, we seem to have lost the line.
No.
Oh, yeah. What's your next challenge?
Oh, the next challenge?
Yeah.
Well, there are some Vatican ciphers from 1600s which haven't been solved, so it'd be really exciting to been read from, you know, 400.
Look, that line, sorry, Doctor, that line is really bad. It's just cutting in and out. Look, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And it amazes me how people like yourself can, A, stick to the task, but B, come up with solving a code that people around the world have not been able to do for near on a century. The cipher, we might try and get it up on our Facebook page so you can have a look at it. The deciphered code, I won't begin to tell you what the cipher was because it makes no sense. It's just all letters after one on each other. But it came deciphered to read, Jellic Knight, Scotland states they raided and obtained some of this. And it goes back to the IRA in the 1920s and 30s. And a whole box of these were kept at the University College of Dublin. And they were, most of them decoded, but this one in particular that Richard was able to decode had been stumping people for 100 years. People with that sort of knowledge, that sort of intelligence are just extraordinary. So I thank Dr. Richard Bean for his time this afternoon.
Vintage Cellars are Australia's fine wine specialists. We stock a great range of your favourite wines, champagnes, spirits and beers. Explore the range in store or online at vintagecellars.com.au. Vintage Cellars, Australia's fine wine specialists since 1951.